This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I have on the show today three individuals involved with AFS, a global nonprofit that places thousands of youth in a foreign country to facilitate intercultural learning. Dr. Mahathir Lokman, a member of the board of directors at AFS Antara Budaya Malaysia, Guillermo Baquero, a member of the AFS International Board of Trustees, and Lisa Karl, who is an AFS participant all the way from Germany. Welcome to the show, everyone.
Thank you
so much.
Guillermo, perhaps I'll start with you. Before AFS exists in its current incarnation, it was known as the American Ambulance Field Service, and that's what AFS stands for. Perhaps you can tell us about its history, its origins, and how it evolved into today as a global exchange program for students.
Okay, the ambulance drivers during the First and Second World War were shocked by what they saw at the battlefield, both during the First and Second World War. So they became so concerned about humanity that they decided to do something. And these ambulance drivers, after 1947, they established this international organization, basically, for peace and understanding. And they thought that the best tool for that was having young students to be exchanged to different cultures in order to promote a better understanding among themselves. So that's basically their contribution. What they didn't know is that nowadays this was going to be had such an impact that near 50,000 students yearly go to different places, about 102 destinies around the world, although we have about 56 partners. And so that was basically the evolution of this.
Dato, where does Malaysia fit into all of this, and when does AFS, when did it come to Malaysia?
We joined the AFS family, the International AFS family, in 1958, 1 year after Merdeka, our independence. And since then, we have also sent over 8,000 to 13,000 students and received many. I do not know the exact number as of this year, because I was chairman of the board for 4 years and left last year. So every year we sent close to 1,000, 1,500 students over to 15 countries. So before, when I went, we were only going to America, in Malaysia, to the United States of America for many, many years, and except for one student who went to my year to Denmark. And I was sent to California, and I had a wonderful time. But I wish I was open and sent to another country where I can excel in my language. But I excelled in my English with an American slang. So other than that, Malaysia has participated, and we have celebrated our 50th golden anniversary, attended by the Crown Princess of Perak, who's also an AFS student in the 60s. And we have many, many personalities, celebrities who have been in this program since 1958, and I thank God for it.
Lisa, you've been here since January of this year, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Before we get into your experience, what made you choose Malaysia?
Well, I had been an exchange student in my school life to the US before. So after coming back and volunteering with AFS Germany, I met a lot of returnees from Asian countries, specifically Thailand, Malaysia, and the Philippines. And they were talking so much about the richness of culture over here that I just always felt like there was something I was missing out on. So when I decided on going on an exchange again, I decided to choose a country that offers a lot of cultures, a lot of things you can learn. So that's why I chose Malaysia. Yeah.
How have you been spending your time here?
I've been spending my time a lot with working with AFS, because I do my community service at the AFS office here. But also, I've been spending my time meeting a lot of very nice people. They open their houses for me. They show me their culture. I've been celebrating Chinese New Year, Hari Raya, Deepavali. So I'm learning a lot. I'm having a lot of fun and meeting a lot of nice people.
Dato, is this typical of an AFS experience that do they get to define their own itinerary, or does AFS has a role in that?
Okay. Only recently we have started on the 18 plus program, the AFSJ, and majority of the country is from Germany. So that is why our lady guest here, she is from Germany, together with many other 18 plus or FSJ program. 18 plus means they have a choice of staying with a family if they want to, or they can also stay on their own. So it's up to them because they're already 18 plus. Whereas all the students on the NH, or Northern Hemisphere, or the SH, Southern Hemisphere program, Northern Hemisphere comes in July, Southern Hemisphere arrives in January for 1 year. But before, only 1 year program. Now they have the 3 months semester program, yeah, and the 6 months half a year program. So there are many choices, and the age ranges from 15 till 18. So, but the below 18 must stay with the family. It's a must. They must attend school. They must participate in every aspect of family life and school and community life. Whereas the 18 plus, Saturday, Sundays, they can rest because they work Monday to Fridays. So that's the difference.
They choose their own board.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yes.
And when you say school, do they get to choose which state they can go to?
Okay, that part is all chosen by the various chapters, where we have a chapter meeting. And then we have the volunteers meeting, where we combine all the students that would could be placed in the different states with how they are very close to the families that were chosen. So, for example, Lisa will not be able to choose. She wants to come to KL. Mm. They will choose for her to go to Penang, for example. Of course, we will not choose to a place where they're completely out in the jungle, where they cannot use mobile phones, they cannot use computer.
There is, but that could happen.
That could, some form of civilization. The children will just die without phones and
social media. Yeah. So, Lisa, how much did you customize your own program here in Malaysia?
Well, I decided to stay with a host family. I think that was quite a big decision that I made. It also has influenced my program a lot because I'm glad I made that decision because I get to see the family life, and I'm a family person, so I don't really like living on my own, and having people around you that you can talk to that show you things that help you with the language a lot. Otherwise, you always choose by yourself the people that you like to stay in contact with. I always try to do a lot with locals instead of, I mean, there, especially in KL, you can find Europeans everywhere, so I could make the choice to meet up with Europeans every weekend, which I don't do because I'm here to meet up with locals. So, yeah.
Did you have an expectation of what it would be like in Malaysia? Did you prepare much before you come to this part of the world?
Actually, not really. I talked to people who had been in exactly my position before, and they told me what their time was like and gave me some useful tips, especially on how to communicate, because the culture is very, very different. But mostly, I just try to be open for anything that happens.
Guillermo, what are some of the more popular programs? Who goes where, and what programs do they choose? Because as you mentioned, 2 weeks to 11 months, that's the 18 plus, that's 15 years old onwards as well. What are the main programs that people are applying to?
Okay, well, first of all, I want to mention something which is important. Near 13,000 students go yearly to different places. Now, we have about 50,000 volunteers, which is very important to stress the fact that this is a volunteer-based organization. So every, you know, volunteers are the core of AFS. That was basically the issue, the most important factor about our organization, because they are committed to the students and to the participants. Now, there are short programs, like Dato just mentioned. We have a school year program. We have semester program. We have community service. But that depends on what you want. I mean, that depends what your choice want to be. You know, where do you want to go? What are your priorities? And then this volunteer movement around the world will try to place you somewhere where, you know, you have this opportunity. Now, if you think right here, you're from Malaysia, we have somebody from Germany, we have from Thailand, and I'm from Costa Rica. So it's just amazing also, not only the opportunity to spend a year abroad, but how you share with others, with other participants from different places, because that make of you a good global citizen, which is extremely important nowadays. Now, you take people from the East, they tend to see that the West is a good opportunity, and those from the West, we think that now to look at Asian countries is incredible. So it's fantastic, but you have all the options, short programs, year programs, community service programs, the 18 plus have a teacher's program too. They're short term for teacher programs. So there is no excuse not to be involved in such a great opportunity.
You take volunteers. Your volunteers are from all ages and all backgrounds.
Yes.
But the exchange programs are for youth.
Yes.
Yes. Why is that?
Well, that's changing. That's changing because I think, there is the logic of the ambulance drivers was that when you are young, when you are from 16 to 18, you're like a sponge. Beyond that, this was, there has been some research and studies on the past why you take young fellows when they are not there moving from high school to universities. And that's the best moment in your life where you are ready to accept everything that comes from a new living experience. So that was the reason. But that's changing nowadays because I think we are more intergenerational nowadays. The population also is getting older around some areas of the world. So this is changing, I think. But there was a logic why that was that way before.
Dato was sharing about his experience in California. How did you come across AFS?
Well, that was funny because I was in my high school, a public school, never left the country before, and former participants came and they talked about this program. I remember that I didn't mention anything in my house. I applied for AFS, and there was a long process. It was about a year then, because they wanted to make sure that you were a student that have the capacity to adjust to a new culture, which is extremely important because you are going to live in a completely different environment. So that's basically what happened in my case. Now, when I got the scholarship, because at the time there were full scholarships, I told my parents, and they said, well, that's okay, you can go now. Do we have to pay something? I remember that. And then I went to Wilmington, Delaware, in the States. At the time, like Dato was saying, it was only America. Now our kids have X options around the world. 102 destinies where, you know, if how open you are, that depends where you want to go.
We are talking today about AFS and the value of intercultural learnings through exchange programs with Dr. Mahathir Lokman, Guillermo Barquero, and Lisa Carl. More about how AFS changed the life of my guest today after the break on BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome to Live and Learn. I'm Chua Untik. A full house in the studio today with Dr. Mahathir Lokman from AFS Malaysia, Guillermo Barquero from AFS International, and Lisa Carl, an AFS participant from Germany currently in Malaysia. Dato, we have a successful AFS student here. Who is eligible for it?
Different countries have different forms of entrance and application. Whereas in Malaysia, we have to finish our Form 5. If you are going for the full year program, you have to finish the SPM of Form 5 level. That means it's automatically 17, 18. You cannot reach 18. You must leave the country before you reach 18 or almost 18 because that is a strict criteria because the high schools are all 18-year-olds. And for the semester program, sometimes they have this short program, they call it. You can be after Form 3, after Form 3 or Form 4 or Form 5, but only on the SH or NH program, you must leave when you are 17 for the 18. And it's a wonderful experience. And I think whoever is listening out there, especially parents and teachers, you must make sure or you should try to encourage your son or daughter once they reach 15 to start applying for a short program. Like Lisa is lucky. She went to America first and now she's trying to experience her intercultural, international experience in another country, in another culture, which is Malaysia. So we are also lucky, whoever students who are placed in Malaysia, very lucky, because of the spirit of One Malaysia, we have a combination, an experience of a conglomeration of ethnicities from Malays, Chinese, Indians, and the people of Sabah and Sarawak, and the Siamese community, and the Portuguese community, and also the Cheti communities. So they are very lucky. Plus, we are also built as a land of festivals. Soon, she has already experienced 3 festivals. And hopefully, Senior Costa Rica will also experience.
I forgot to mention that, which is very important, that experience changed your life completely.
Yes.
After an AFS experience, then your life will not be the same. It's going to be better for the rest of your life. It's a learning journey for the rest of your life.
So speaking for all of us.
Yeah, obviously, because you guys are still very, very much involved with the AFS community. What was your experience like?
Well, it was good because I was very flexible, too liberal, and I got a very strict, very rigid family.
Where did you go?
Delaware. I went to Delaware, which was, at the time we didn't know where Delaware, you know, didn't even exist, you know. It was such a small, the first state and very tiny place. I came from a very liberal background, and I found this very rigid, conservative family. So I learned some rules about life that I didn't know before, and I think they were so important that still today, after almost 48 years of my AFS experience, I still in touch with my family. I just have visited my both host parents recently last year after 4 or 5 times that I've been there. So the contrast is important. The contrast of the experience is important because then, you know, you learn things that maybe you're not, you don't have, or you don't, because of your own family background or whatever, because of your surroundings, because you're in school, whatever.
What about from the host family side? Why should families consider hosting someone from abroad?
It's like having the world stays with you for 1 year or 3 months or 6 months. If a Chinese family here takes a student from India or from Egypt or from, they have a more exchange, yeah, or from Costa Rica. We host students from Costa Rica. We host students from Germany. So this is the intercultural. Our program is focusing on the intercultural experience more than any other exchange programs. And, of course, the students have to pass through several tests. Of course, they have to donate some form of monetary exchange pending on their level of income. So if your father is a fisherman, of course, you will have to give a little compared if your father is a bank CEO. Of course, you have to pay the full-fledged. So, but we have another program called YES. This is only for countries where predominantly they have a high Islamic population. The YES program is initiated after the 9/11 bombing of the buildings. So Muslim students are chosen to go to live in America for 1 year. Malaysia only participate for 6 months because of our schooling and our exams here. So all other countries will be there 6 months earlier compared to us. But this is a very important thing. We are not only giving to Muslim students in Malaysia because of our multicultural, multi-religious background. We also give a percentage to non-Muslims. But it is free of charge. But the competition is very, very high.
How many, did you say, a year from Malaysia, for example, goes to this?
Okay, Malaysia is given 50 scholarships.
Okay.
50 scholarships per year, and we divide it equally amongst the different religions of the country for them to experience America. But this YES program is only to the United States of America.
Right. Lisa, so you're expected to fundraise, I guess, this trip on your own. Was that part of a challenge for on your end?
Yes, we were. Actually, the program I'm on is for quite a big percentage funded by the German government. So I only had to fundraise a part. I got very lucky that my parents saw my need of help because I was still finishing up my studies and didn't have a lot of time to do the fundraising. And then my parents chipped in and said, you know, we give you some money now and then later when you have a lot of money, you pay us the world travels. So kind of, I got lucky that my parents helped me. But I know from a lot of my peers that they go around to companies, they go around the town and collect little parts of donations. So there are all kinds of ways people do the fundraising.
Right. So if I'm understanding this correctly, when you are in the middle of the program, you are considered as volunteering for AFS?
That's, for me, I guess, a special case. There are different... when people go on this 18-plus program, they can be placed in all kinds of community service projects. Can be orphanages, old people's homes, anything that serves the community. But for me, I decided that I wanted to go into an AFS office because I had already been with AFS for quite some time. So that was already in Germany decided that I would go to the AFS office.
Beto and Guillermo, both of you are former chairs of AFS in your respective countries. AFS currently has, as you mentioned earlier, 56 partner countries. How does one become a partner country, and shouldn't this number be higher? Perhaps Guillermo, you can go first.
Well, I think it's not an easy answer, I think, because many of these countries came to the system a long, long time ago. So it has been more difficult nowadays to get new countries. Still, to have 56 countries, but 102 countries as destinies. So, you know, the impact is greater. So even when we don't have, we wish we could have more countries, of course. Still, that's part of the challenge the organization have nowadays, is that this is not easy nowadays, but we have what is called Vision 2020 and are looking to grow. We're looking to for more destinies, for diversity. For instance, Africa, we have programs in Africa, and the intra-African program is extremely important too. It's not easy for African countries also to get hooked. We have only 4 active participating countries there, but that's part of the challenge. The challenge is to make sure that we really, through intercultural learning, to get this, our participants be more wise in many ways, better understanding of other people, to promote peace. So, you know, but these are not easy goals.
What's the challenge? What's the resistance from the local governments or organizations?
Well, I think the first part of history was also because there were many countries also prejudiced about the United States. Remember that this program started in the United States and it was a strong program for many years. So now after several decades, the program is opening to other societies, to other countries. Now you don't need to go to the States, for instance. I can tell you that my 2 children, they decided to go one to Japan when she was 15. And my boy, he went to Germany. So, you know, they didn't want to go to the States, for instance. None of them. One came to Asia and the other one came to Western Europe, excuse me. So I think nowadays, however, there are more opportunities. You can travel on your own. You have internet, technology. You can find cheaper ways to travel. But what is impossible to substitute is the AFS experience. So that's the issue.
Dato, everything that AFS does is based on the underlying belief that exposing students to different cultures, religions, and ways of life leads to a better world. We could use some of that as well within Malaysia in light of some recent development within our politics. Is there any interstate programs in place?
Well, we used to have the domestic program, but we are trying to instill a stronger, through the Prime Minister's Department, a stronger sense of appreciation of maybe the students from Sabah and Sarawak being sent to Peninsula Malaysia, people from Perlis, Kedah, Kelantan, Selangor, going to experience each other. Because it is very different culture, the people in Sabah and Sarawak, the ethnic communities, compared to the main community of the Malay Chinese and Indians. Many people do not know of our Gawai Daya. Many people do not know of our Tadau Kaamatan unless we participate ourselves. So that is a very good, what you just said just now, to instill the feeling of domestic exchange is very good for us, especially because we are not from a homogeneous country. We are from diversity of ethnics and ethnic races. So that is a good idea. But I think the students of international students coming here, they 95% of them, I feel, because I do 4 years of my tenureship as the chairman, I do the arrival and the departure. So I can see clearly how the students fare when they arrive, speaking no English, very little, only German. By the time they're sent to villages and small, they're speaking the dialects of the state, speaking with a Kelantanese accent. Instead of saying Apakaba, they say Guanademo, and stuff like that, you know? So in Costa Rica, they speak the dialects of the Costa Rican region, the Argentinian accent, the Brazilian accent. So everybody pick up. By 3 months, they're really picking up. Unconsciously, they do, without even thinking. Yeah. Of course, there are some stubborn ones who just do not, because our country is also English-speaking. They are very anglicized, so everyone speaks English. So they become spoiled. They speak English without learning the Malay, especially those in the cities. But for the villagers, yes, they all speak very well.
Right. Yeah. So no two experiences is identical, isn't it? Because depending
very
on what
different.
State you go to, it's very different country.
And something I also wanted to add is that not all our life is AFS, because that's another interesting thing. AFS opened many other doors. For instance, I was a Fulbright scholar in the United States because I had a, let's say, I was an okay student, former AFS student. I knew the language. And then I applied, and then I became, I got one of these great scholarships from the Fulbright program in the United States. So I had another experience, and I took my entire family for 1 year. To teach in the United States in an American university, and that's thank you to AFS too.
Lisa, have you picked up any dialect or languages while you're in Malaysia?
I knew the question was coming up. I'm more of the stubborn ones, I think. Well, one of them.
She's city.
It's really quite difficult to pick up the language when because my English was already quite good when I came, because I went to US. So to me, it was so easy to speak English in the beginning. About halfway, I just thought, oh, this is such a waste. Why am I not learning the language? That is so sad. So now I'm at the point where I understand a lot, but I'm still quite scared of speaking. So when I buy something in the street or when I talk to the bus driver, that's okay. But like any higher level conversation in Malay is not possible.
If I ask you, sudah makan?
Sudah makan.
So to people listening out there, what is your advice to students who are thinking or maybe on the fence about AFS? What would you say to them?
Just go for it. Yeah. Don't hesitate to do it, because it will be the best decision of your life.
One of the famous acronyms, do not worry about weight. Every AFS student suffers from, that's why we are called AFS, another fat student.
And I think you just go forward. I mean, go. You don't hesitate. Yeah, that's a good advice. Just don't think. Opportunities are there, and then you learn as an individual also to deal with obstacles, even if you are not selected, or even if you do not participate, just the try is good enough.
Yeah. And Dato, families, how do they get in touch, or how do they become a host family?
They can apply and call directly to AFS Malaysia, or go into the afsmalaysia.org in the internet, and all your answers will be, inshallah, answered, all your questions especially. And the people like Lisa, they'll be friendly enough to entertain you and ask you how many family you have and how you'd like to host. You'd like to host a girl or a boy? And do you have a specific country that you would like to host? Sometimes people can try. If the person says, I want my children to learn Japanese, or I want my children to learn German or Spanish, then we can try our best to put a Spanish-speaking, German-speaking, Japanese-speaking into your home. But it is open family. Of course, we have to interview your family.
Yeah, 6 months to a year is a long time. Yes. How stringent is the background or interview process?
Yeah, the interview process, they want to make sure that, you know, there's no pedophiles in the family. The father and mother are all normal people. The brothers and sisters are kind and gentle. Nothing to abuse the students, because the students are under the care of AFS too, because they're all 16, 17, still underage. So we have to protect them and take care of their welfare. So all those things is very important. Once it's okay, it's just zap. It's very fast. We have a special orientation program for both families and students, especially families, Muslim families taking a Christian student, stuff like that. So everybody will learn the opposite side of the family or the student.
Guillermo, you were here to attend the 2015 Partner Network meeting.
Yes.
I'll give you the last word. What final message would you like to leave on AFS and the topic of intercultural learning?
That AFS provides a unique opportunity in your life. And some of us are just, tend to retribute what we have received from AFS. That's important to say. We are so grateful to the program, former participants, that now we try to make other people to get the message across. Please come participate. Don't hesitate, especially for the young people, because we can tell you by our own experience, it's a wonderful thing to do. And when we come here and we have all the partners, the chairs and partner directors and members of board, we get this new energy, and we're getting this energy here in Malaysia. We become more stronger, and then our message has to be well received by your people to apply and to be part of this great community.
Thank you very much. My guests today are Guillermo Baquero, who is a member of the AFS International Board of Trustees, Dato' Mahathir Lokman, who is a member of the AFS Antara Budaya Malaysia's Board of Directors, and Lisa Carl, an AFS participant all the way from Germany. You have been listening to Live and Learn on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.